KJAN Sports.
Time for Checkin' Sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Our sports update this morning brought to you by Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic, where their purpose is to encourage savings, offer members low-cost loans, and provide other financial services.
Online banking adds convenience to your life. Hi, this is Ellen at Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic, and we invite our members to check out a new and easy way to be a stay-at-home banker by visiting our user-friendly website, nishnavalley.com. We have free bill pay, e-statements, you can make transfers from one account to another, look at the status of a check, fill out a loan application, and even mobile banking, and it's all on one login. Check us out at nishnavalley.com. Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. Think beyond the bank.
Well, the Western Iowa Conference announced its all-conference volleyball selections for this year. On the first team this year were three trainer Cardinals. Shaylee Rath, Emma Fine, and Gracie Myers all were first-team selections this season, along with Underwood's Chelsea Hardesty and Rachel Landon. Also on the first team this season from Tri-Center, Shelby Sullivan, and from Audubon, Emily Nelson and Rochelle Hausch of Missouri Valley also were first-team selections. Among the second-team selections this season, trainers Tracy Purdy, also from Tri-Center, Mallory Christensen and Emma Botts, Missouri Valley's Taylor Gardner and Haley Hellstrom, also from Underwood, Reagan Landon, Leah Kraus, and from AHST, Haley Bloom. Honorable mention selections include Kyra Obermeyer of Audubon, Cheyenne Smith of Riverside, Kyra Skelton of Missouri Valley, Anna Spomer of Tri-Center, Kinsey Rodenberg of Underwood, Casey Peters of AHST, Haley Antofer of Audubon, Rachel Novotny of Riverside, Lexus Rogers of Trainer, and Marlia Roselle of Griswold. All were honorable mention selections. In men's college hoops last night, Devin Marble scored 18 points and Mike Gasell added 15 as Iowa beat Central Michigan 73-61 in a game heard here on KJAN. Aaron White had 14 points and 9 rebounds for the Hawkeyes, who couldn't pull away against the inexperienced Chippewas until a 14-3 run midway through the second half. Gasell powered the key stretch for the Hawkeyes, hitting a couple of three-pointers and assisting on another. Kyle Randall had 17 for Central Michigan. The Chippewas were able to cut the lead to 7 with 4.5 minutes left, but they got no closer. First-year Central Michigan coach Keno Davis, the son of former Hawkeye coach Tom Davis, was an undergraduate assistant for his father at Iowa from 1991 to 95. Tyrus McGee led 5 Cyclones in double figures with 18 points, and Iowa State blasted overmatched Alabama A&M 98-40 Monday night. Freshman George Nang had 17 points, and Melvin Edgem had 16 for the Cyclones, who opened the game on a 35-10 run and recorded their 6th largest margin of victory in school history. Iowa State held Alabama A&M to just 14 first-half points in building a 27-point lead. The Cyclones led by as many as 58 points, and they won their 9th straight at home, dating back to last season. Elsewhere in top 25 men's college hoops, Cody Zeller kept number one Indiana in control through the first half Monday night as Remy Abel gave the Hoosiers the other big score they needed in the second half, and it came just in time for the Hoosiers to beat North Dakota State 87-61. Zeller finished with 22 points and 9 rebounds, while Abel scored a career-high 14, including 7 straight during the run that finally turned the game around. Elsewhere in the top 25, Trey Burke had 22 points, and Glenn Robinson III added 21 in 5th-ranked Michigan's 91-54 victory over IUPUI in the NIT season tip-off. Tariq Black had 18 points and 7 boards to lead number 17 Memphis to an 81-66 win over North Florida. 18th-rated UNLV topped Northern Arizona 92-54. Also number 20, Notre Dame, an easy 80-57 winner over Monmouth, and it was 19th-rated Gonzaga crushing West Virginia 84-50. It'll be Mike D'Antoni trying to lead the Los Angeles Lakers back to an NBA championship, not Phil Jackson. The Lakers have decided on D'Antoni, who gets a 3-year, $12 million contract to replace Mike Brown, who was fired on Friday. Jackson was in talks to return for a 3rd stint as the Lakers coach, but the Lakers went with D'Antoni, who guided Phoenix to some of its most successful seasons, and also coached the Knicks before stepping down in March. D'Antoni is recovering from knee replacement surgery. The Lakers are optimistic D'Antoni will arrive in Los Angeles Wednesday. In the meantime, interim coach Bernie Bickerstaff continues to run the show. The Lakers are 2-0 under him after opening the season with a 1-4 mark. The Lakers are set to host San Antonio tonight. They'll be without their top 2 point guards. Steve Nash is out until at least the weekend with a small fracture in his leg, and backup point guard Steve Blake is out with a minor abdominal strain. On the court last night, it was Milwaukee over Philadelphia, 105-96. Utah needed three overtimes to beat Toronto, 140-133. Oklahoma City down Detroit, 92-90. It was Boston over Chicago, 101-95. Miami beat Houston, 113-110. Minnesota topping Dallas, 90-82. Phoenix over Denver, 110-100. Atlanta, 95-87 over Portland. I'll have more sports after this timeout.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. I'm Jeff Nelson. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
In football news, all season Michigan's been able to count on its defense, even if the offense has struggled for consistency. After Saturday's 38-31 overtime win over Northwestern, though, the 23rd-ranked Wolverines can't even be sure about that. The Wildcats put up 431 yards against Michigan and should have won the game in regulation if not for a bad punt and a spectacular pass from Devin Gardner to Roy Roundtree. Michigan will be facing an entirely different kind of attack Saturday in Iowa's pro-style power running system. We'll have that game for you Saturday here on the radio. Iowa State is beat up after a brutal 7-week stretch that included five losses against top 25 teams. At least the weary Cyclones finished the regular season against two teams that are struggling more than they are. Iowa State travels to face a 1-win Kansas team on Saturday. On November 23rd, the Cyclones finished the regular season at home against West Virginia, losers of four in a row. Coach Paul Rhodes says the Cyclones were tired last week and that the coaching staff will cut back on practice this week. Well, the Big 12's attention is on Kansas State's national championship dreams, yet there's plenty left to be decided in the conference over the final weeks. Six teams are bowl eligible, with Iowa State, West Virginia, and Baylor still battling for chances to fill out the league's bowl slots. Kansas State can clinch at least a share of its first conference championship since 2003 with a win Saturday night at Baylor. The Wildcats moved into the top spot of the bowl championship series rankings after Alabama lost to Texas A&M. Number 13 Oklahoma and number 18 Texas remain alive for a possible BCS Bowl. If Kansas State gets the league's automatic berth, the Sooners and Longhorns would be eliminated from consideration for at-large berths with another loss. In other college football news, the new football postseason system will have six games as originally planned, but now a spot in the marquee bowls will be reserved for the best team from a group of five conferences that includes the Big East. The new postseason format starts in 2014. Washington State football coach Mike Leach denies his players are subjected to any type of abuse, as alleged by star receiver Marquess Wilson. Wilson made the allegations in a letter he released Saturday in which he quit the team and also complained that the coaching staff would belittle, intimidate, and humiliate us. Tommy Tuberville takes full responsibility for losing his cool with a Texas Tech graduate assistant along the sideline during Saturday's win over Kansas. He called his actions unfortunate and said he had apologized to Kevin Oliver, who works with the special teams. Florida coach Will Muschamp says quarterback Jeff Driscoll is doubtful for Saturday's game against Jacksonville State because of a sprained ankle. Fellow sophomore Jacoby Brissett likely will start against the lower division Gamecocks. Well, here's the good news for Pittsburgh Steelers fans. The Steelers won their fourth straight game by escaping with a 16-13 overtime win over the 1-8 Kansas City Chiefs last night. Now the bad news. Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger left the game with a right shoulder injury. Backup Byron Leftwich made his first appearance of the year in relief of Big Ben as he completed 7 of 14 passes for 73 yards. Sean Swisham kicked three field goals, including the game-winning 23-yard field goal 51 seconds into overtime. That play came one play after Lawrence Timmons intercepted Kansas City's Matt Cassel and returned it to the 5-yard line. Big Ben left Heinz Field immediately after the injury to get it diagnosed. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin refused to speculate about the long-term effects of the injury, saying only, "I don't live in the hypothetical world." The Steelers improved to 6-3, a game back of AFC North-leading Baltimore. Steelers play the Ravens next Sunday night and twice in the next 3 weeks. The Steelers are 8-0 at Heinz Field on Monday night since that stadium opened in 2001. Well, Kansas City's placed defensive end Glenn Dorsey on injured reserve with a calf injury and added defensive back Nico Thorpe to the 53-man roster. Dorsey played in just four games this season. He injured his left calf in practice in September and missed four games, and then injured his right calf during a loss to the Chargers November 1st. The former first-round draft pick finishes the season with seven tackles and no sacks. Philadelphia coach Andy Reid says Michael Vick suffered a pretty significant concussion and told the quarterback to stay home and rest. Reid says Vick complained of a headache and fatigue on Monday. If Vick can go for Sunday's game at Washington, rookie Nick Foles will get the start. Vick is set, though, for more tests. Coach Lovie Smith says the Chicago Bears properly handled quarterback Jay Cutler's concussion on Sunday night. He says Cutler showed no symptoms of a concussion immediately after the hit, so the quarterback finished the half. Symptoms showed up at intermission, and Cutler wound up sitting out the second half. San Francisco coach Jim Harbaugh says quarterback Alex Smith threw a 14-yard touchdown pass in Sunday's 24-all tie against the Rams while playing with blurred vision before he came out with a concussion. Harbaugh said Smith improved overnight and he's set to see a neurologist. His status for next Monday night's game against the Bears is uncertain. Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach Greg Schiano says linebacker Quincy Black is expected to recover from a neck injury but is experiencing complications with his left arm. Houston Texans defensive line coach Bill Collar did not travel home from Chicago with the team because of a possible blood clot. Collar missed Sunday night's game because of the issue. Indianapolis has lost starting cornerback Gerard Powers and defensive tackle Drake Nevis for the rest of the season. Powers injured the big toe on his right foot, while Nevis hurt his hand in Thursday's victory at Jacksonville. Buffalo coach Chan Gailey says running back Fred Jackson is being tested for concussion-like symptoms, adding that it's too early to determine whether he'll play against Miami on Thursday. In baseball news, Mike Trout of the Los Angeles Angels was a unanimous winner of the American League's Rookie of the Year Award after a season that put him in contention for the MVP as well. The 21-year-old center fielder hit .326 with 30 homers and 83 RBIs following his call-up from the minor leagues in late April. Trout received all 28 first-place votes from the Baseball Writers Association of America and was the eighth unanimous AL pick and the first since Tampa Bay's Evan Longoria in 2008. Bryce Harper, who just turned 20, is the second youngest winner of the National League Rookie of the Year. Harper batted .270 with 22 homers and 59 RBIs as Washington brought postseason play to the nation's capital for the first time since 1933. Harper got 16 of 32 first-place votes and 112 points from the National League panel. Arizona pitcher Wade Miley was second with 12 first-place votes and 105 points, followed by Cincinnati slugger Todd Frazier with 3 firsts and 45 points. In racing news, four-time NASCAR champion Jeff Gordon has been fined $100,000 and docked 25 points for intentionally wrecking Clint Bowyer at Phoenix International Raceway. Gordon has also been placed on probation through December 31st, but he avoided suspension for his actions in Sunday's race, which triggered a fight in the garage area between his crew and Bowyer's crew. And after a week full of promise that progress might be made, the NHL lockout appears to have bogged down again. The two sides met for 90 minutes on Sunday, but amid signs that the league is holding firm on its demands on the core economic issues, it looks like it'll be tough to move forward. There are no further talks scheduled. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Nishna Valley Credit Union, located at 200 Maple Street in Atlantic. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.